Welcome to Best of Art Beat, your weekly podcast about culture, art and society in Perth and beyond. And what a week it was. Bec Bowman is back with another jam-packed episode this Friday, chatting about all things local culture. She is joined by Pilbara Indigenous artist Rusty from Cool Change Contemporary, a multi-gallery artist-run initiative in the heart of Perth, to discuss its latest exhibition, Dandy Fleur. Director Ella Wright also stops by the studio to chat about her debut film, Strange Changes, as part of the brilliant Perth-based theatre company, The Last Great Hunt. And Perth-based fashion group, Wright Collective, discusses sustainable fashion in the city and the importance of changing the way we wear, think and feel about fashion.
You are listening to Artbeat on RTR FM 92.1. I'm Bec Bowman, and I promise that it is the end of the week. Things are only getting better, and things have only gotten better since Rusty stepped into the studio to talk to me this morning about their art and their journey from Karratha to Perth. It is, you know, it is a story of the young, wide-eyed ingenue, I don't think I pronounced that properly, coming to the city to pursue her dreams, and I love it. Rusty, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honoured.
So you've come down from Karratha in, like, this determination to be an artist, and now you've got a job at Pika, you have an exhibition at Cool Change Contemporary. What was it that kind of stirred you to go, actually, no, this is happening, this is what I'm going to be doing with my life?
I think for me it was like a lifeline. Like, I had to do it. I know that sounds quite, you know, typical, but I just had to do it. I think it was like the year. Yeah, exactly.
Something in the air.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of the work that you do is inspired by or informed by stories that you have had passed on to you from your elders. Mm-hmm. When did that start happening? Like, was that something that has been happening since you were very young, or just when you sort of started getting older and could understand a little bit more about what was being said?
I think it was a mixture of both. I just loved the way that they told stories. Like, my elders would tell stories, and there was always this classical, like, nostalgic but also like comedic aspect to it. Even though, like, a lot of the stories they told me were serious, I just liked that you could take one element and have it mean so many different things.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And that's really come across in this character that you've created.
Yeah.
Dandy Fleur.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about Dandy.
So I think I was always inspired, like, in my house there was always pearl diamonds just everywhere, and this character was, like, based on, like, a pearl diver if it was a creature. So that's just, I just took that from my house and, like, my home. So,
and now Dandy's come to Perth.
Yeah.
What sort of things does Dandy get up to?
Lots of mischievous things. All the pursuit of adventure. So,
which is very much like yourself. This character, Dandy, do you find that you're able to kind of explore some of your own anxieties through them, and your own, like, your own adventures come through in the life of Dandy?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the way that I perceive Dandy is like this little creature just navigating this whole, like, world and trying to make sense of it all and trying to be part of it too. So I love Dandy. Dandy is me.
If you want to see Dandy, you can get down to Cool Change Contemporary. It is a multi-gallery artist-run initiative located in the heart of Perth CBD. It is a part of Cool Change's February to June 2022 artist program. Rusty, you came down to Perth from Karratha. You had this, like, dream to kind of pursue your art, but, like, things don't ever happen as simply as that. Like, how did you find out where to apply, who to talk to, where you needed to be able to kind of create this world that you wanted for yourself?
So I've been in a few, like, competitions that I've entered, and I think through that I got kind of a sense of, like, how space is run. And I just noticed through social media that Pika was like a very sort of accessible and also like a really nice space to enter. And I just went to different galleries and just tried to have a scope and see like, oh, maybe I could drop my resume and see. And I was just so thankful that, yeah, they just brought me on.
Took you on.
Yeah, for sure.
You just kind of sussed the place out.
Yeah, exactly.
Until you knew what was up.
Yeah.
Did you find that people were very welcoming and kind of wanted to take you under their wing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think once you get over that space of, like, this space is quite intimidating, I just threw that out of my mind. It was like, no, like, I'm just going to go in. What's the worst that can happen?
Exactly. What is the worst that can happen? You, like, channeled your inner dandy.
Love that.
I'm heading in here, I'm talking to them, and by the way, here's my resume, please hire me. Do you think that if it weren't for this kind of early exploration of yourself through art, that you would have had the courage to kind of do this and just throw yourself in there?
Honestly, I don't think so. I think I'm so thankful for art because I think it's like made me want to explore and like just experiment. And I think if I didn't have that aspect, then I would just be in my little hermit shell.
You're talking about experimenting, and one of the aspects of the work or one of the mediums of work that you are exploring at the moment is thermal art. Please, I did say that I didn't know what that was.
Mm.
Or I didn't have a very clear understanding. Can you kind of like illuminate us as to what thermal art is or can be?
I think I just really liked the close-up studies of like plant matter and just noticing how it does have that thermal aspect. So I really wanted to explore that. Science is just so invigorating and I'm so inspired by it. So it's that thermal aspect of like science and all that. Yeah,
you need to have a chat to Symbiotica, who if you were listening earlier today had a chat with Taylor. You can restream that conversation as well as the one I'm having right now with Rusty from our website if all of this sounds very interesting to you. Rusty, when does your exhibition open?
So it opened on the 4th and it's closing on the 26th.
So another 13, 14, couple of weeks, days to get down and check out Rusty's work at Cool Change Contemporary. You can see for yourself Dandy and what Dandy Fleur gets up to and the different little adventures that they go on. Rusty, thank you so much for coming in and having a chat about your work. It's been lovely getting to know you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All the best and hope to chat to you again soon.
No worries. Thanks.
You are listening to the only radio show that's dedicated to discussing the arts in WA. Now I'm going to be talking about one of WA's biggest exports at the moment. The Last Great Hunt has travelled from near obscurity to international success over the last 8 years. They have, unless you have been living under a rock somewhere, you would have heard of some of their very highly imaginative works. Lenore immediately comes to mind. That was in 2018 and presented as part of the Perth Festival. Ella, you became interested in The Last Great Hunt around that time, and Lenore really makes up a lot of this documentary. Is that right?
Yeah, I saw some of their earlier works, such as Alvin Sputnik, Deep Sea Explorer, and It's Dark Outside, which is coming up on its 10-year anniversary this year, actually. They can do a special performance of that. When I saw their work, I just felt elated and devastated and really moved, and I thought it was magical. So I approached them to see what they would do next and started following them around with a camera.
This documentary took you 8 years, and I've already asked this question, but I'm going to ask it again because people say, oh, this project took this long, this many years. But, I mean, obviously you're not sitting with someone every day for 8 years. You kind of dip in and dip out. How do you know when are the days or when are the times to dip in and dip back out again?
Yeah, that's true. They put up with a lot of me, but not for the entire 8 years. I guess you just have to talk to people. I mean, these guys became really close friends of mine and were really open and generous to including me in their lives and their work. So it's just about making that call on a day-to-day basis, what is worth covering and what's not. And probably to their detriment, I covered more than what was needed in the end for the one-hour film. We ended up having 163 hours of footage to go through.
It's a Beatles documentary.
Yeah, well, that is the highest compliment. Anyone who knows me listening will know that's the highest compliment you could give. And actually, I did. I love how the Beatles Get Back documentary that came out by Peter Jackson recently covers the creative process. And in some small way, there are this documentary tries to do that too, cover that creative process from some exceptionally imaginative people.
What did you find out about The Last Great Hunt's a creative process?
Well, they have a really back-to-front way of usually theatre or any kind of drama. You'd start with a script and that is pointed out by one of the players in the doco. But these guys, they start with play. So they start with nothing but just themselves and what's in the room, and then they create images that they think are striking, and then once they have a set of striking and moving images, they weave a story to suit that in some way. So they'll link everything together and the story is born of these really moving, like striking images that they create.
They're creating works for the stage and you have created a documentary for screen. Did you kind of adopt some of their practices when you're making this documentary? Did you kind of start thinking about images and play and creativity and curiosity when you were doing all this filming and putting it together?
Yeah, I suppose actually spending so much time around these guys, I feel like I really learned a creative process from them. And I didn't actually intend to. I usually produce films, so I didn't intend to direct this documentary. But as it happened, my partner, my husband, Michael McLean, was the cinematographer and my collaborator in this process at the beginning. But then he became busy and ended up actually working on the show and Lenore, the rain that I followed, and actually in the film as well, in the documentary. So I had to learn how to use the camera myself. And I had amazing other filmmakers like David Vincent Smith and Lewis Potts filming at times as well. But ultimately, being in the room with the Last Great Hunt team so much, I learned their creative process. So when it came to sitting in the edit suite, I was able to play with the footage and collaborate with my editor, Chris Trapp, and my producers, Aidan O'Brien and Janelle Landers, who produced the film, and WBMC, who the team there. And I guess just it like in the film, the creative entity, which was the documentary, was a sum of the parts, which is so much like what the Last Great Hunt do and the magic that I saw them do in the room. So I guess I, having never directed before, I got schooled in creativity and creative process through following their creative process.
And it sounds like this has added, I guess, a sense of depth as well to your documentary, if you're kind of bringing these creative practices in that you're also exploring in the documentary itself. If you've just tuned in, we are talking to Ella Wright. She has made her directorial debut with Stage Changes. Stage Changes has followed The Last Great Hunt. It's Perth Theatre Company, and the film Stage Changes is being released this Friday on iWonder. Tell me a little bit about iWonder. How can people access it? What can they find on it?
Well, what's really cool about iWonder is that they actually did not even exist at the time I picked up the camera to make this film. But they're quite a new documentary platform. They've only been around for a couple of years, but they offer thousands of documentaries from around the world that are highly acclaimed. We're their first ever iWonder original, and we're very proud of that. So to watch the film, you can go to iWonder.com. They offer a 14-day free trial, so you can watch Stage Changes and then check out any of their other films and see if you want to keep it or kick it.
sounds like an excellent way to explore the world at the moment, given that we can't leave WA. definitely get down there and check out Ella's film Stage Changes. And also check out The Last Great Hunt. They're still doing amazing things and they're...
It's dark outside. I think we'll keep an eye out for that. It'll be at the State Theatre Centre coming up in a couple of months. 10-year anniversary.
You have heard the news here first. Going to keep going with some tunes here on Artbeat. This is Paranoia's with In the Bin.
Rooftop Movies, Perth's favourite outdoor cinema, is back with another epic program for summer. With a hot lineup of cinema classics, cult favourites, special events, and exciting new releases, this is the perfect way to spend your summer evenings. Head up to Rooftop Movies for incredible views, great food and drinks, and guaranteed good times. Check out the full program and get your tickets at rooftopmovies.com.au. Sponsors of RTRFM.
Thank you. Listen to me talking quietly. How am I gonna let you get away from my arms? But I can see you are fooling me. Even whenever I wanna make you love me better, you walk away, you carry on. You only ever love me when you're with some fun. I'm laughing now, what do you think of that? I know I maybe try to call you frequently, but don't worry now, cause you are boring me. Can never really love me cause I can't stay back. I'll let you go, I'm thinking that. I wanna hear you say that you let me down. I'll make it up, I'll make it up to you. I wanna hear you say you let me down. I'll make it up to you, make it up to you, make it up to you, make it up. I'll make it up, 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 make it up. I'll make it up, 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 make it up. I'll make it up to you, make it up to you, make it up, make it up, make it up. I'll make it up to you, make it up to you, make it up to you, make it up to you. Maybe love for you, maybe love for you, maybe love for you. No love for you, no love for you.
You're listening to Artbeat on RTRFM 92.1. I'm Beck Bowman, and that was a track from Harsh Rhythm's blood-sucking cassette company. It was Dissonance, and it followed on from Terza with Make It Up. Just a fantastic track. It just gives me goosebumps, that one. We also had in there the Diabolical Liberties with Pacify My Night Bus. Do not ask me what that means. I do not know. You are listening to Artbeat, and we are coming up to 11 o'clock. Very soon you're going to hear some news, find out what's happening in the world, and then after that we will be talking to Michael Levitt. He is a surgeon and a novelist. He's also written a true non-fiction book about gut health. He is a Renaissance man here. He's going to be talking to us about his debut novel, The Gallerist. It's a true crime, art, heist, extravaganza that's coming up after 10 o'clock here on Artbeat. Right is a group of Perth creatives looking to change the way we wear, think and feel about fashion. Their latest collection focuses on zero waste design and production and opens in the Perth CBD tonight. I am joined now by Declan and Harrison, who are going to be talking to us all about Right's new program for zero waste clothing and the amazing shirts that they are both wearing. Thank you so much for coming into the studio, particularly dressed as you are. It is very exciting for me.
Yeah, we had to wrap the merch, right?
Yeah, well, but also, like, I get this personal little fashion show from you, which is great. As a long time from childhood op shopper, I'm all over this. I'm very keen. I've already showed you like the name tag on my shirt that used to belong to an old lady. Tell me what got you into wearing clothes that perhaps had already been owned by someone else or had been used by someone else in a different way.
Yes, I've been an op shopper for like all my life, I think. And I studied fashion at Curtin, and then I slowly, as I did my degree, realized that like upcycling was just like a great way to move forward. It let me like do my design concepts as I wanted them and gave me the look that I wanted. And so when we started Right, we sort of just went naturally into the upcycling side of our design. Like we've done upcycled runways. We really cherish clothing that's had a life before it and has like a design language to it that can only be had through wearing it. So sustainability and upcycling has been a part of our practice this whole time. And so this next part is really just like stepping it up and moving forward and really making a point of sustainability in the industry.
When you're talking about the design language of the fabric that you source, what does that mean? How does the fabric that you source influence what ends up as the finished project?
So we use like a variety of fabric. So we use like doona covers or curtains or couch covers, furniture upholstery, and they all have different principles, all have different, you know, blemishes, or they might, you know, have rips or whatever in them, stains on them sometimes. And we quite like that. We quite like that it's part of what we make, and we acknowledge it and we like put it through our design process and like make it more visible, I suppose. And we've always done that. And then, yeah, for this, we've found like a diverse range of fabrics and stuff like that really added to the whole process and really added to the design concept of, like, basically we're releasing 50 different shirts and they're all unique, but they're all the same shirt. So, you know, everyone's buying the same shirt, but no shirt's the same. So it's, yeah, it's very fun.
It's a paradox.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When you, like, did you meet at uni?
Yeah, so I started the brand about 3 or 4 years ago at university, and I met Lockie and Josh and Declan there, and then the four of us, basically the core members. But then we also have a wider group of people that work with us. So we have an internship program set up with Curtin and the fashion department. So we have, I think we have 5 interns or so working on this specific launch collection. And then we slowly build in other people from disciplines of music and art and set design.
It's like the four of us are at its core sort of designing things, but then we bring a lot of people in to collaborate and give their sort of personal opinion on what we're working on, and think that really adds to it.
Yeah, this project is definitely more focused on product, and a lot of our past endeavors have been focused on kind of more of the art side. So this is actually the first time it's been more product heavy, but we're also using, like, the logic of the art inside it, like the installation at the event. When people go, I think they'll start to connect the dots of, we're showing you the process in an artistic way.
When you talk about product, do you mean like product versus art? Do you mean like you are focusing more on a finished product that is wearable, like out on the street, and that you can go and buy at a shop?
I think it's a more of a utilitarian product, the shirt itself. It's something that you can even go as far as turning it into a uniform for business, and it's not just an expression of an artistic idea. It's actually something that can be used every day.
Yeah, in the past we've made pretty wacky stuff, and it's all been like in part of some theme concept that we wanted to, like, you know, really push ourselves, but then we sort of decided to dial it back and see how universal we can get our products to be. And so, like, they still have that right identity of all being unique and having these, you know, eclectic fabrics and stuff like that, but then anyone could wear it. Like, you know, 70-year-old lady could come in and buy one of these shirts, or like a rapper or something, you know, like anyone could wear one of these shirts. And I think that really speaks to the value of the product.
Yeah, we kind of say in the studio there's a zero waste shirt for everyone. Like, there's a fabric for everyone. It's, and I think that will be evident on the night, where there's 50 different shirts.
So we've been talking a bit about on the night. Tell me a bit about this night.
Okay, so we have a store in the city on Wellington Street, 575 Wellington Street. The opening night is tonight at 6 p.m. It's free entry. Everyone's welcome. And then we also have a store. The store will be open tomorrow as well throughout the day from 10 till 4. But yeah, I think that it's best to come tonight because there's a limited amount of stock, only 50 shirts. So.
Yeah, and they're also going to be displayed in like a gallery-ish sort of way. They're all sort of on their individual stands. Is that okay to say?
Yeah.
They're all in their individual stands, and there's, you know, I don't want to leak anything.
It's commercially sensitive information.
I got to check with the boss first.
No, it's okay.
And there's like artwork up on the walls. There's like, you know, we've sort of made the space reminiscent of our journey through understanding sustainability and stuff like that. So
we've made a bunch of prints that kind of show the journey, and yeah.
If you've just tuned in, we are talking to Declan and Harrison from Right Systems Fashion. They are zero waste, sustainable fashion company in Perth, born from Curtin University Fashion Design Program. Mm-hmm. What's next for Right? Are you planning on continuing like a wearable street fashion kind of direction, or are you going to focus more on the art side of things?
We're definitely going to continue with the zero waste program. Like, it's not a one night thing. It's something we're going to build out over the next several years and continue to work on. And we eventually want to get the shirt stocked in internationally, like at stores.
Yeah. We hope it's like an avenue for us to collaborate as well. Like, you know, with textile artists, or like, you know, if other brands have just like dead stock fabric they don't know what to do with, they can give it to us so we can make some shirts and like do a collaboration thing. We thought it was like a great avenue for that. But my hope is that like over my lifetime, I make 1,000 of these shirts. Like, I created like the short sleeve variant, and then there's a long sleeve variant that Josh created. And they're both unique and different in their approach to zero waste. But we really hope to keep it going, and we want to like see how far we can push it, and yeah, just sort of hone it in as our like flagship sort of thing.
And then I guess in the future, once we have time, start building out other products, not just a shirt. A shirt's just kind of the starting point, but it's not the finish line, you know.
Yeah, like some zero waste pants or jackets or whatever.
Because you were telling me earlier that when you're cutting these patterns, that you're leaving there's no waste cloth.
Yeah, there's no little scraps or cut off or whatever. Mine's basically just like a big square, and I just use all pieces. And then Josh's is very tessellating.
I was just going to say, they tessellate together. Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
I mean,
Josh's is much more tessellating, and it creates a very interesting fit. Like, I think it looks like a normal button-up shirt, but it also just has that, it's tiny bit off, and I think that speaks to like the zero waste part of it, where it's, you know, you get to see the zero waste because it's not a conventional shirt.
And a conventional shirt has on average 15% waste, if not more. So a lot of waste is left on the cutting room floor, and our floor usually has none.
Something like 60 billion square meters of fabric gets left on the cutting room floor, and during this whole process we've left none on the cutting room floor, so I'm pretty proud to say that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What then do you say about fast fashion? Like, does that just make your blood boil? Do you start looking, like, do you get targeted Instagram ads and just be like, no, I'm not interested?
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating.
I think I've been so far out of fast fashion that I've just blocked it out of my periphery and my mind. You know, I understand fast fashion has a place, for like impoverished communities and things like that, where people, you know, need access to those resources and stuff. But I think it's just like, it's not up to people consuming fast fashion. It's up to the fast fashion industry to get better, I think. And, you know, it's a systematic thing.
And it's actually, there are fast fashion institutes that we would want to pitch this idea to, that they can transition to this as well.
Yeah. It's like, it wasn't very hard. It took a lot of work and a lot of like research and development to create the pattern, but it wasn't very difficult for, you know, us to create this with our resources.
Yeah,
this
is not a luxury product. This is a utilitarian thing that anyone can wear.
Yeah, so I wouldn't see why, now that we've sort of developed a zero waste thing, why another company wouldn't, you know, try it out, or like, you know, there's no waste associated, you know, there's no risk.
So you're going to infiltrate the industry from the inside.
Oh, yeah. Creative director.
Just change the world. Just casually, this is your plans for the future, which I think is an excellent plan.
My 5-year goal is to change the world. Yeah,
yeah. Definitely. This has been a chat with Right Systems Fashion. They have a opening tonight on Wellington Street. What number Wellington Street again?
575, and there's a bar as well.
Yeah.
Very important information. There's a bar, 575 Wellington Street. Everyone's welcome. You can go and check out the shirts for yourself. I can confirm they are very good shirts, and you'll be very pleased to be the owner of one of these 50 shirts that have been made with zero waste. Thank you both for coming in and having a chat about this. And thanks for the work that you're doing in Zero Waste.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Best of Art Beat. For more episodes, visit rtrfm.com.au or tune in live next week on 92.1.